Okay, well, good evening. I think we got everybody here. Welcome to the first round of our series of class on Proverbs. You may wonder, what topic are we going to have? I kind of want to keep everybody in suspense back there so you kind of would have some anticipation. This class, Peter Berry and myself are excited about teaching a class. Well, we're going to talk about the Christian at work. And as we've been putting this together, it's been very interesting, and hopefully what you'll find in the next 3 weeks is that it will meet some needs and give you some practical advice. But what I want to do to start with is first off, start with a prayer. So if you all would bow with me, we'll go to God. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the opportunity to study your word. Father, for the chance to come together in fellowship and consider, Lord, how we might be able to serve you, God, to live a life that's victorious, God, live a life that brings praise to you. And as we talk about, particularly in the context of working, Father, please bless us as we consider this topic over the next 3 weeks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, what I want to start with is if you turn in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 1, tonight we're going to start with a brief introduction. And then we're going to jump into the topic of our first class tonight. And I'm going to have a couple of introductory comments, and Peter's going to come in and do some more in-depth teaching on the topics that we're going to introduce here. But what I want to do is start with I want to start in chapter 1 of Proverbs and do an introduction of, what is a proverb? I've always thought of when I first started reading the Bible when I was a young college student, Proverbs was always fun to read because you kind of have these little thoughts that kind of hit you immediately. And it just, it would hit you and you're like, wow, that was cool. That makes sense. And you go through it. So I want us to kind of look at this and say, what is Proverbs? How do we use this? And really, the very first chapter gives us some really real good insight in what we're supposed to do. In verse 1 of chapter 1, I'll read there, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance, for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. And so I had a question I wanted to kind of ask. Are proverbs, are they commands? No. They're advice, yeah. Who said, really, in some ways, there are some that are found, that are kind of, they're antecedents of commands. But really, what they're there for is just about everybody, when you read this prologue here, just about everybody's covered and can benefit from Proverbs. If you're a young guy, when I was 18, boy, I needed Proverbs bad because it was sort of like, I had a very small base of wisdom in my life. I've been alive for 18 years, so I had, kind of had a small inventory there to work off of, and so I needed it bad. I'm 48 right now. I'd like to think that I've gotten more wise than when I was 18. That's up for debate maybe. But it says here, let the wise listen and add to their learning. So, today at 48, I can still keep reading and adding to it. I'm adding to it. And hopefully this class, no matter where you're at, you're going to add to it. If you're discerning, which means somebody that, has enough sense to ask for help and, weigh things out, you can get guidance. And then you can have understanding. So the first point I want to make is I drew this funny little diagram, and I've asked a couple people, what do you think this says? And I realized, well, I'm glad I asked because I'm going to try to explain a little more. I'm an engineer, and so I kind of, what this is supposed to be, is this supposed to be a foundation? You can't tell you, that's like a little, the little foundation stone. This is a slab, and then you got a building on it. And really, my point that I want to make is, and this is really kind of where I started with Proverbs. Proverbs, I started reading them, and it's like, but it didn't have much of an effect on me at first. I was like, okay. They weren't nearly as effective until I had this foundation. And the foundation I wrote in is the fear of the Lord. And really, if you want these Proverbs, when you read them, if you want them to be effective, you've got to have a foundation of the fear of the Lord.
Amen.
for them to, for really for them to, I mean, they'll have some, you know, just because it's God's word and because they're great advice, they'll have some degree of benefit to you. But, you know, and you'll probably see this when we talk about work. When we talk about, you know, being in a workplace, you know, if you don't have the fear of the Lord, they're not going to be, you're not going to have limited effect. So I want to encourage you is the first thing we got to have is a foundation of having a fear of God. Okay? Now I want to turn over here. This is kind of interesting. I want a little more background, then we'll get into the class. That's the Hebrew word, this little symbol there. It's called Mashal. I think it's the word, and it's word number 4912 in Strong's Concordance. If you know. It's the proverb, and it says a phrase expressing a basic truth which may be applied to common situations. That's a proverb. Now what's interesting is proverbs a little broader than that, and I want to introduce that. In Isaiah 14:4, the context of the proverb that Isaiah uses the word, the same Hebrew word, but it's in the context of a taunt. Think about God talking trash. It's a taunt. And you read some of these, and sometimes ridicule is a good motivator for us. Sometimes that may be the only thing left that we'll respond to, you know, is a little bit of ridicule. So, you know, I'm saying that I've lived that out a little bit when I've read some things. You know, and we'll see some of these. Some of these are like taunts when you read these proverbs. They'll be like, oh, man. And then there's another application where it's an oracle, which is an oracle is a view of the future. And again, some of these proverbs, you'll see, you know, they listen out. This is what your future is going to be like. You know, a lot of if-then statements in there. You know, you can take it for that. Numbers 23, that word was used in Balaam when Balaam was blessing God's people. Outside of, you know, when Balak had asked him, hey, why don't you put a curse on him? And he said, I can't. God won't let me put a curse on him. I've got to say a blessing. And that was it was called a parable is what he said, or a proverb. And then also another the word also can mean parable, which is the, you know, story with a heavenly meaning. Ezekiel 17:2. And there's a couple of proverbs in here that are like parables. I don't think about the ant. I think about, you know, they use a parable to help us understand. So, what I want to do is talk about proverb. Now, what I want to do for this class is, Peter and I got together and we said, how are we going to teach this? We got three classes to tell you about the Christian at work in the book of Proverbs. Well, we went through there and I kind of marked in here. Okay, that seems to apply to work. That seems to apply to work. That seems to apply to work. And I got about 98 proverbs. Okay. But we're not going to cover all 98 in detail in the next 3 weeks, you know, if that's really for not. But I wanted to hand out a little brochure. You know, and everyone's welcome to take one. If you're a married couple, you know, you might want to consider sharing. That might be an opportunity. But, because I've made about 100 copies, and I'm hoping they'll last for everybody. So if you are married, you can maybe just take one, if you don't mind. That'd save on copies. And what this is a description of the 98 proverbs or so that we found in there. And we kind of looked at three themes that we want to talk about. The three themes are how's your perspective about work? The view from 10,000 feet. What's your perspective about working in general? The second class we're going to do is how is your motivation for work? Important, you know, something we think is important. It's kind of a theme in these proverbs. And the third class that we're going to talk about is how's your relationships? And talk about work in context of our relationships. But tonight we're going to start with your perspective from 10,000 feet. And you'll see in there, does anybody get a brochure? And, you know, you're welcome to bring, you know, I'd like you to bring it to class the next 2 weeks that we have it. Does everybody get one? And there's some extras back there. Stacy's going to grab. And we'd like to do is, you know, I'm going to take it to work with me and just start reading it and start giving me some guidance. I hope it would be helpful in that way. But also, you know, something to look at in the next couple of weeks as we talk about the class and think about it to prepare. Okay, let's turn to Genesis chapter 3. We're going to dive into the class here about our perspective. So you'll turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. verse 17, Genesis 3. This is God talking. Adam and Eve had fallen to sin, and God had sort of now explained to them the punishment for their sin, for that, you know, first sin. Because you fell, you know, he explained to Eve, now you've got to suffer in childbirth. And then he talked about the serpent, you know, no one's really going to like you. Everyone's going to be afraid of you. And then he said something. Then he gave Adam his curse. Verse 17, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow will you eat your food until you return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, from dust you are, and to dust you will return. And I have a little story that just dawned on me one day when about 2008, for the first time in my career, I got laid off from my job. And I had about a month off. It was kind of, you know, and I've got to confess, that was one of the best, that was a fun month. I mean, it was, you know, I was like, man, I'm going to work today, you know. I'm going to get my bike, I'm going to ride down to North Lake Mall, you know, go get breakfast at Matthew's Cafeteria. I'm just living, you know, this is awesome. You know, I was like, man. You know, I was like, this is like, I've been working for, it's been 18 years now that I've been working. I never had any, you know, just vacation, you know. My longest vacation I ever was a week. And so, you know, I just had a week off. My wife, Jessica, was going to work, you know, but you know, I had limited, and it's like, hey, I'm having a great, this is awesome. You know, the only downside about it was, you know, there wasn't a check coming in, you know. So it kind of got, you know, like, well, but in the back of my mind, I'm thinking to myself, I can get used to this. This is pretty cool, you know. No work, you know. And then I got a job about a month, you know, within a month. I was very blessed. I'm very grateful. And I woke up the first day to go to that new job. And that first Monday, usually when you get a new job, I've always had this sort of like, man, I can't wait to go. It's going to be so exciting. What's going to happen with my office, you know? What's going to happen? Blah, 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 you know, and you kind of jump into it. And I've got to confess, that first morning, I didn't want to get up. I was like, man, I just want to kind of, you know, relax here. And it told me about a little bit about my career and where I want my career to go. That was one lesson. But the other lesson was, I said to myself, this is the curse of Adam. This is the curse of Adam. There's an element of suffering in work. It says, you know, what does he say? He says, thorns and thistles it will produce. You know, work is, there's not necessarily, you know, it's not necessarily, you know, it's supposed to be, you know, a wonderful thing all the time. There's a degree of adversity to it, and you got to work through it. And I think we have to have a perspective about what, you know, what is work supposed to be? What's it supposed to be for us? It's supposed to be, you know, us not relying on ourselves or looking to here to have the greatest life, but it's looking to heaven. And that was the curse, you know, was maybe before the curse happened, Adam had a great time working. And then God said, well, you know, I'm going to change this a little bit. You're not going to have such a good time down here. You know, you're going to work through painful toil. And it's interesting, there's no sense of retirement. There's no mention. He says, you will work by the sweat of the brow until you return to the ground. So retirement, and I was going to say retirement, is actually a relatively recent in human history type of concept that we've all sort of now accepted as an entitlement. We're entitled to be able to retire. If you look at most of human history, we really haven't. You know? Okay, Deuteronomy 8:18, and I'm going to turn over to Peter here. So it produces suffering, but also produces something else that the Proverbs talk about. Verse 18 in Deuteronomy 8, just one scripture, one verse. And this is after they had entered the promised land, he gave them this command. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. And I thought about this, where does wealth come from? If you were to boil it down, you know, I'm not an economics professor, but I don't know that economic professors have to be economics professors to be economics professors before you listen to all those different guys. But where does wealth come from, if you think about it in its most basic sense? Well, from God, okay. In a practical sense, you know, how does God do that? Okay, it comes through the ground. If you think about all the wealth, the United States is a service industry. We've become more service oriented. We've lost manufacturing. That's the big controversy in the in our economy today is all of our jobs have gone overseas, right? The manufacturing jobs, we have agriculture, we have manufacturing. If you think about it, everything that produces wealth is, you know, oil, agriculture, food, minerals, all this stuff, it comes from the ground. And God gave us through the ground, through working the ground, He gave us the opportunity to produce wealth. And so this class today, and I'm going to turn over to Peter now, is about suffering and wealth and how we handle it. Because that's what the Proverbs here are going to be talking about, is what's our perspective about work and how we handle suffering and how we handle wealth. Thank you, Peter.
So we all should suffer and we should all become farmers. Got it? Okay. Dismissed. No. Okay. Just thought I'd boil it down for you, you know, make it practical. We got all kinds of colorful markers here. This is so cool. But I actually brought my red and blue because I like red and blue. So, okay. Now we're going to start off with something really fun. This is a class. We're small. We divided into little groups. And believe it or not, I used to teach high school. Can you pity those poor kids? Anyway, so, you know, they had to put up with all my math jokes. It's really a sad thing. But in any case, we need to be interactive, okay? Because I'm not a big lecturer, except to my children. Tell them, you know. What do you hate about work? What do you hate about work? Come on now. I know you've got a bad day once in a while. What do you hate?
Straight day that you have to go.
Yeah. So just certain days, the schedule? I'm sorry? Yeah, the schedule. Okay, the schedule. We hate the schedule. Okay. I hate the schedule anytime it's before 9 a.m. After that, I'm okay with it. Okay.
Any commute you might have.
Commute. Anyone here commute to work, or you all work at home, right? Yeah, if only. Okay. The commute. My car's radiator broke in the middle of my commute today, so I ended up with a tow truck and a ride. It was not a good day. Okay.
Difficult people.
Like me. Yeah. Okay. Difficult people. Difficult people. Why can't they all be like thee and me? And I'm a little worried about thee. Yes?
Environment.
Just the work environment can be bad, right? Okay. What else do we hate? Yes. Mean boss.
Yeah.
The mean boss. Not just the boss. El jefe, how do you say mean? Okay. Yeah, Jeff.
Feeling a lack of accomplishment sometimes.
Okay. Yeah.
If you have a job that's like dead end or something, you don't feel like that.
Yeah. Why am I here anyway? Right? Ever had one of those days? Why did I come to work? Yeah.
Deadlines.
There's a reason they don't call them lifelines. Okay. Just a thought. Lack of accountability. Or sometimes accountability, right? Anyway. Depending on how I'm doing. Okay. Someone over here, yes.
Can't give yourself a raise when you think you should earn it.
Can't give yourself a raise, right? Myself. A raise. At least not legally, right? Okay. Mark?
Being on salary and having to work overtime and not getting paid for it.
Oh, free time on salary, right? I was calculating the other day. I left work at 10:30 p.m. Nancy was out of town, so it's like, whatever, you know. I'll just get some stuff done here. So I got to work at 8:30, left at 10:30. That's not a good day, you know. My hourly rate for the day really went down, okay, because they didn't pay me for that. Yeah.
Reviews.
Yeah, they can be good, they can be bad, but they're scary no matter what they are, right? Okay, and I know there are many more. I'll pause there because I'm running out of red ink. No. But anyway, there are a lot of reasons to not like work, okay? You know who we need to blame for that? Eve. She gave him the apple to eat. Anyway, okay. And this woman you gave me. Oh, Lord. No, okay. Okay. Fortunately, this is the middle of the alphabet. My wife's somewhere else. Anyway, okay. She's downstairs learning how to be a teacher for your kids, so applaud her. Okay. So, yeah, we've earned the right to sweat. We heard the passage in Genesis, right? This is our lives. And in fact, the flip side of that coin is there are some really good things about work, aren't there?
Yeah.
So, if I can open this. Oh, I was about to hand it to Joe here. Okay, can you open this marker for me? Okay. So what do we love about work? I just heard paycheck.
Fringe benefits.
You mean most of you wouldn't be working all day for free?
Oh, no.
Okay, just checking. Okay.
2.5 months vacation.
Oh, teacher, huh?
Yeah.
You all know the three best things about teaching, right?
Yeah.
June, July, August. Medical benefits. Medical and other benefits, yeah.
401k,
yeah. Which is really what that's about is retirement, right? You know, having a chance to retire. Remember, that's a new concept.
Yeah.
Free food in the break room. They're all going to show up at your office now, sure. I'm sorry?
Oh, you have a goal early on. Because you kind of direct your goal early on.
Okay.
Like, you ask every child, what do you want to be when you go out?
Yep.
So it gives you some kind of
something to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a point there that I want to circle back to, but cool.
Mark?
Bonuses. Bonuses.
Up to
yes. Sense of accomplishment. Uh-oh. We're running out of room for the men. Okay. Let's see. Alan.
Teamwork.
Teamwork, when it happens, is awesome. Isn't it? It's great to be part of a big team. Stacy, wait a minute. Help people.
Right.
Oh, you do gooder. Helping people.
You have to meet exciting new people.
Okay, yes.
Continuing to do what you love.
How about going home?
Okay. The magic board here says there's room for one more, so yeah.
New relationships.
New relationships. Get to meet people.
Yep.
You know, if it weren't for meetings, I wouldn't have a social life. Anyway, so. Okay. Yeah, that's the horrible part. You laugh and you say, why am I encouraging this guy? You know? Okay. So, sorry. Free shirts. Liaison. Two eyes. I had a support call today where I'm yelling at Oracle, not seeing into the future, but the evil empire company with Larry Ellison at the head. Anyway, they were really letting us down on support. Say, we sent you an email Monday, Marlon, and Marlon's my director of IT. And we sent you an email Monday, and we sent you on Wednesday. And he said, I did not receive them. And I said, is there any chance you left the support person left the second eye out of liaison? Oh, no, that couldn't happen. They looked. It happened. L-I-A-I. Okay, two eyes. Anyway. So, sorry, sidebar. Did I mention I have ADD? Okay. You'd have never guessed it. Now, my son-in-law has a great perspective on work. He thinks Americans are just plain silly. Okay? You get paid. You work. Get over it. What is this thing about fulfillment at work? You go, you get a job, you get paid, you work, you know? And there's a valid point there.
Right.
That is what God has called us to do. Not in Proverbs, but somewhere in that Bible you can find, if you don't work, you don't eat.
Right?
And as the deacon of benevolence, I can say that sometimes that's true. Okay? If you don't work, you're not going to have a whole lot. We do have a food pantry still in my basement. Come on by. Okay. But that's reality. Someone turned to Proverbs 6, and someone else turned to Proverbs 10. You can decide if you're someone or someone else. Either way, I need someone on each. Okay? And someone who's in Proverbs 6, read my favorite two verses and then the sad warning that comes after it, verses 9 through 11.
When will you get up from your sleep?
Yes.
A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest.
I wish that would stop right there, but keep going. Another verse.
And poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man.
Okay. You know, I love to sleep. I really do. I hate getting up in the morning. I also like a paycheck. So I get up in the morning. You know? That's just reality. We're designed that way. Okay? God built a universe and a world and designed it for us. So, you know, we're talking about this perspective, this sense of, you know, why am I working? Why do I have to keep doing this? Well, there are a lot of good reasons. You know? And some of us have jobs that just plain stink, but at least are getting a paycheck. And you know what? Amen to that. Son-in-law says, you're working, stop you whining, right? On the other hand, though, many of us have jobs where there's free food in the break room. Or teamwork happens. Or you get bonuses. Or you actually have a sense that you're doing good for people. And if so, count your blessings. Because you get to work and you get some fringe benefit to it, okay? So that's reality. Now, someone else, whoever deemed yourself someone else, read me verses, chapter 10, verses 4 and 5.
Lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands brings wealth. He who gathers crops in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son.
Yeah. That's what we are. Diligent hands bring wealth. You gather your crops in the summer. You do what you're supposed to do. And there's a fundamental truth here that my son is beginning to learn. And many of our teenage sons have and daughters have had to fight through that, right? Oh, gee, I'm supposed to, like, work. Dude, what's up with that? You know? You don't realize how much free time you have when you're in high school. You don't realize how much free time you had when you were in college until you're out and working. I look around here and I see a couple of guys I know are working two jobs. Okay? I maybe more of you are that I don't even know of. Okay? There are a lot of hard workers among us. That's what we have to do. We're built for it. I would love to have God design the world where I could have spent the rest of my life in the all-inclusive resort in Ocho Rios, Jamaica. That's where I was 2 weeks ago. It was nice, but I had to work a lot of years to go spend my week. You see how that works?
Yeah.
That's the reality of our lives. And the fact that you can get any sort of break, whether it's a trip overseas or whether it's just a couple of days off to sit on the deck at home or whatever, be grateful for it.
Yeah. Right.
As Jeff pointed out earlier, God kind of designed us to work our way into the grave. That's reality. That's normal. And we have to sort of stop and say, wait a minute. If my perspective is that I wish I were, my answer back in high school, honest truth, when I was told, you know, guidance counselor calls me in, wow, you've got good grades here, Peter, you're doing a good job, you have a lot of potential to do a lot of things. What do you want to do? What do you want to be when you grow up? And I said, I want to be paid very well for doing nothing. I actually said that. You know. It's a goal. I did not achieve it. But it's a goal, okay? I'd love to inherit a fortune. I'd love to win the lottery. You have to actually play the lottery to win the lottery, and I've never bought a lottery ticket, never intend to. Feel free to. My daughter's still in college. help her out. Okay. But just bear in mind, you know, when you see a casino, just ask yourself who paid for it. Beautiful building. Who paid for it?
You did.
Losers. Okay, so I studied math. That's what I learned in math for many years. Okay, so this is who we are. You don't work because you're grudging. your work because God designed us to work. Rejoice in that. Dive into it. Be part of it. Okay? Work. You know, even when it's on the red side of the page here, it's what God asks us to do. We got to get that picture. You know, if you've got the, oh, I hate this job, there's nothing rewarding here, you know, go do it joyfully, gratefully, that you have the energy and the power. God's given you life to work today. Amen. Now, you know, over time, and we'll talk some about this in one of these future classes. I think we're going to swap the order, right, Jeff? So motivation, week 3, we're going to talk about what you can achieve. Okay? But the reality is, even if all I do is work my way to the grave, that's within God's will. Stop griping. You know? Not assuming you're all griping, but, you know, potentially, hypothetically, were you to gripe, don't. Okay. So, we've talked a little bit about these things. Got them all memorized now. Comes a quiz. No. Okay. Now, I want us to think about, we know the financial rewards for work, right? Mm-hmm. What are the non-financial rewards that you get by working? Okay? I'm curious to see if you'll come up with one of my favorites. So non-financial, yes, I can spell that if I think about it, rewards. I can't draw pretty pictures like Jeff did. I'm sorry. You can barely read my handwriting, I know. Carl, definitely. He's there, man. What's that non-financial reward? Relationships. Okay. So some of these are going to echo what you already saw, right?
Yeah.
But relationships. Where are you going to meet the people who you can bring to God? Work is one opportunity, isn't it? Okay, Mark?
You get to be a great example for your children.
Okay. Example.
They know you work every day.
So you can be an example. You can be dad. That's a cool thing. Yep, either. Whichever.
Knowledge and information.
Knowledge. Is that kind of cool? You might actually learn something at work. I will argue that I've learned more at work than I ever learned in college or in grad school. it's just, you learn more. Okay.
Okay. Building a relationship with God.
Okay. Building a relationship with God. Expound on that for me. Okay. How do I do that?
My job is very hard, and I have to pray all day long.
Okay. That's good. Prayer, yes. Please, God, help me not to quit right now. Okay, yes.
It helps in build your character.
Yeah. Yeah.
Build character. Man, you sound like my dad. Okay, yes. Build character. And he achieved it, see, because I am a character now. So.
As a teacher, one of the non-financial rewards is the fact that you get to see children growing.
Okay.
In knowledge and relationship.
So see children going, but kind of the helping others grow, right?
Yeah.
You know, there's just something about helping others that you just feel like I can sleep tonight. You know?
Baloney.
Baloney? I like baloney. I love it. Belonging. Okay. I kind of like bologna. I was ready to say, where do you get the bologna at work? I'm missing something. Jeff, just by the way, when do I need to stop? Because I can go till 9:30 or 10, but I probably shouldn't. Right? These guys are all when is stopping time? 5 more minutes. Okay, cool. Just checking so I can. Alan?
Keeps you out of trouble.
There you go. That's what I was hoping someone would call.
That's right.
Keeps me out of
trouble.
You know what? I tell people when I joke about it, I was talking in a study. Yeah, Mark, you were there, right? One of the things that, not just work, but everything, I stay busy. One reason I stay busy is I am a manic kind of crazy guy. But the other reason I stay busy is that I don't therefore have time to sit around and get into really stupid stuff. You know, that's a good thing. Yes. Okay. Opportunities. Okay. It's all kinds of things that can happen. This side of the room is a little weak. We need more over here. Yeah. Yeah.
Discipline.
You learn a little self-discipline, don't you? Either that or you learn how to be disciplined by someone else. One way or the other, it's going to work. Yeah. Okay, so pausing there, and I'll try to watch the clock here. The reality is there are a lot of rewards to work. Now, how many here have ever been unintentionally unemployed for any real period of time? Okay? As in, you didn't choose to be unemployed. I was unemployed when I was 10 years old, but I wasn't trying to be employed, right? You know. Okay. But yeah, been laid off, or company went out of business, or been laid off and the company went out of business, or whatever, right? You know. I won't write them all down. But what are some of the things you felt, other than, hey, this is a great spare time like Jeff? But what else did you feel when you were out of work?
Guilt.
Useless.
Yeah. Yeah.
Panic.
Fear.
Despair. Yeah, despair.
Growth.
Growth? Yeah. Broke. Oh, okay. What else? Any other? Oh, okay. Sit home and eat, yeah. Until you can't afford the food anymore, yeah. Yeah. Now, this is kind of my main point from all these nice proverbs and all this nice teaching from Genesis, is God doesn't make mistakes. He asks us to work. He expects us to work. But in doing that, He's taking care of us. Now, He's designed a world where the financial rewards of work are necessary, and, you know, if you don't work, you don't eat, and all that comes into play. But the reality is, most of us, there are a few odd men out who could probably stay on a beach in South Florida and never work a day of their lives if they could find a way to do it. But seriously, we become better people, more fulfilled, more sane people when we work. You think about those non-financial rewards, but you're building this thing. When you're out of work, you miss the work. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe you don't miss it as much as, you know, it depends on what kind of work you're out of and various things like that. But, you know, just having that sense of purpose when you get up in the morning. You know, my whole discipline, I went by 3 or 4 months after being laid off, was I get up every morning and I put on, not a suit and tie, but I put on work clothes, you know, business casual clothes. I sit down at the computer. I'm looking for work. I had set goals. I'm going to apply for 10 jobs every single day. It gets pretty hard after the fourth or fifth day because you've applied for every job that can be found, you know. But I'm going to do it anyway. My goal was to schedule every breakfast and every lunch with somebody as a networking thing. Every breakfast, every lunch. I actually achieved, you know, maybe 3 or 4 meals a week, but that was my goal. So I had goals every day, and that was how I stayed sane, because otherwise I would have gone stark, raving, crazy. Okay? You got it. It's human. We're designed that way. When God says you got to work, He's not, it's a punishment for a sin and, you know, all that, but it also is the design. God doesn't make mistakes. We do better working. Yeah. Now, if I'm at home, stay-at-home mom, and I'm not working, rethink that. You're working. Okay? You know? We're designed to work. You know, when I stay home, you know, I get a few days off or something, and I find myself, I'm okay, mow the lawn, trim the hedges, wash the floors, do something, you know. I'm not good at being still. I have to work on that a little bit, actually. That's a spiritual issue, too, but that's a different issue. But in any case, so how can you, and I've been waiting all night to say this, okay, we're setting proverbs. So how can you become the proverbial worker? I'm building up to it all night. How can you become the proverbial worker? What are some practical things you can do starting now, or maybe you're already doing, that can help you become the Proverbs worker, the worker that we're talking about here? Ah, that's almost biblical, isn't it? Yeah, work as though working for the Lord. Jeff?
Pray before you go to work.
Oh, yes. Pray every morning. God, make this a day of blessing. Yeah.
Change the attitude.
Yep. Grateful attitude, yes. Get to work on time. Another true story, and there's just sidebars, but I can't resist. Before I was a manager, I would get, you know, pats on the back and nice thank yous and a bonus or a raise or whatever, and I'd say, oh, I'm not that good a worker. I'm just kind of showing up and doing my job. And then when I became a manager, I realized that if you show up and do your job, you're a great worker. Trust me. It doesn't take a whole lot more than that to be a great... I've employed a lot of people who don't show up and don't do their job, okay? And you got to fix that all the time. So show up on time. Do your job. Yeah.
Perfect.
Say, listen more and be a better student.
Listen, learn, absorb, be a student. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm worried about this. Well, you know, isn't it great to have a job to be worried about? Okay. Yeah.
No complaints.
No complaining. Yep, that's a huge one. It's very hard not to complain, isn't it?
Find a mentor, somebody who can help you learn to be better.
Exactly, yeah. Learn. Okay.
On the same note, be a mentor.
Be a mentor. Very fulfilling. Same reason teaching is. It's great to help people. Okay?
Yeah. Be humble and willing to learn.
Be humble, willing to learn. Okay? So, you guys have taught the class for me, so thank you very much. You might have noticed I didn't really contribute much except random anecdotes that didn't have too much to do with the topic at hand. So, you've taught this class because you already know all this. So what are we really talking about? Read Proverbs, pray about it, get back into it, and do the things you know to do. You know, that's what work is. So, don't make this overly profound. There is no secret sauce, magic formula, magic wand, you know. It really is. Do the things you know you should be doing. Because you know this stuff. Okay? And, you know, I think, don't give too much credit to some deep mystical whatever spirituality. You know these things. If you don't know them, read that little pamphlet. Just reading, you know, read one page of that for a quiet time, you'll probably have plenty to think about. You know, I can do one quiet time on, you know, like two verses of Proverbs and spend a good half hour or more on that, you know. It doesn't take much to challenge if you're open to the challenge. Okay? But these are things you know. These are things you can grab. The point is, are you doing them? You know, if you're called out at work, if someone at work says, you know, if someone at your office were to say, okay, who's the disciple here? Do you stand out?
That's right.
Okay? Because that's who we should be. We're the light of the world. Okay? So be that worker. That's the perspective. I am grateful that I have life today. And I'll be grateful if I have life tomorrow. You know? It's cool. Enjoy that. Okay. Any wrap up, Jeff, or shall we close out with a prayer? Okay. Let's pray. And then we'll, I guess, be dismissed, and we're a little late, but not too bad. Okay, good. Dear God and Father, we thank you so much for being our God and our Father. Father, for being an example. For being an example of a worker, working 6 days and resting the seventh. Father, you've designed us beautifully. You haven't made any mistakes. You've given us goals and dreams and reasons for getting up in the morning. You've given us troubles. You've given us challenges. It's all okay, Father. Thank you. Thank you for giving us the life and the challenges and the blessings and the gifts and the struggles, everything that constitutes the world you've created, Father. Thank you for that. Help us to embrace it. Father, just help us each to not be playing God, but to be playing children of God. To live out as your children, trusting you. Father, help us each. Next time we go to work, tomorrow, whenever, to stand up and be disciples, to stand up and be Christians, to be the people that you have called us to be at work. Thank you for your love and for your forgiveness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay.